Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week and every week. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to hear a little bit about what's going on in the rail industry, how volumes are holding up this week. Before we dig in, I want to remind everybody, as it gets to the fall, we start to turn our minds and thoughts to cooler temperatures and to a shift away from summer, back to school, back to the grind, back to the fall travel season. As we start to think about transportation, start to think about our budgets for 2023, what is that landscape going to look like? What is the environment we're in going to look like? Make plans now to be in Indianapolis about a little over a month from now, about 6 weeks from now, September 13th and 17th in downtown Indianapolis, the Crown Plaza Union Station, the FTR Transportation Conference. It'll be back, bigger, better, in person at the Crown Plaza Union Station. Four jam-packed days of transportation content. We've got a day for truck freight. We've got a day for truck and trailer equipment. We've got a day for rail freight. And we've got a day for rail equipment. You will not want to miss it. You will want to be in person. We have a great lineup of speakers. We have a great agenda out there, some great networking events for you. September 13th of the 17th at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. You will not want to miss it. You will want to be a part of it. You will want to be there. Make your plans now. Go to ftrconference.com. See everything you need to know. Sign up. Plan to be there in person. You will not want to miss it. And so let's talk about where we're headed this week and what volumes were like. And overall, from a volume perspective, it really was pretty much a status quo report for volumes. They really didn't move a whole lot. They stayed pretty well where they had been running. But overall, service and labor issues remain front burner issues for just about everybody in the industry. Service remains poor. Unfortunately, we don't really have line of sight to any improvement in service. At this point, we think it'll be the second quarter of 2023 before rail service shows any meaningful improvement. That's certainly not what shippers want to hear. That's certainly not what carriers want to hear. But again, when you look at the numbers, those are where we think things take us. When you think about service, one of the big things is labor. You can't really divorce the two at this point in time. And from a labor perspective, the number of operating employees really hasn't changed very much over the last few months, really over the last year. It's been pretty much a static number. So despite all of the full training classes that we heard about on the carrier's earnings calls, they're either not able to retain those folks or they're not able to add people quicker than they're losing people in other demographics on the ranks. And so they're just able to keep up, keep afloat, keep enough new hires coming in to replace the people that they're losing. That doesn't help the carriers get back ahead. That doesn't help improve service performance to shippers. And we're going into the fourth quarter, the first quarter, the most difficult operating quarters of the year for the carriers from a weather perspective and a volume perspective. So we'll have to see how that all plays out as we go forward. The other labor issue that acts as a black cloud over everything right now are the ongoing labor negotiations between the carriers and their operating personnel. As many of you know, it's in the presidential emergency board phase. That will continue until the end of the month, and then the board will issue recommendations. Those recommendations will be key in terms of seeing whether or not this can be solved or whether or not there is the real possibility of a strike. Now, once the recommendations come out, there's another 30-day cooling off period, putting us essentially at the end of September before anything could potentially happen. But shippers need to understand that it then it certainly could happen. You know, it is not impossible. It is difficult, but not impossible under the Railway Labor Act for there to be a nationwide rail strike. The last one was in 1992. That's 30 years ago. When you think about that, it's an eternity ago. How many things that you did 30 years ago are you still doing today? You probably have a different girlfriend. You probably have a different job. You probably have a different car. You know, all of those things have changed in 30 years. As an industry, we've had an awful lot of turnover. An awful lot of people have changed jobs, come in and out of the industry. And as part of that, we've lost the institutional knowledge in a lot of places about what a rail strike looks like and what it means for your supply chain. And we may, if things do not change, we may get a chance to relearn, to re-engage with those skill sets. As a shipper, I will tell you, it's not just going to be the couple of days that they're out before Congress returns them to work. It's going to be the after effects. It's going to be the hangover of trying to get the networks restarted. It's going to last for weeks, if not months into the future, that you're going to have to plan and prepare for. With that, let's turn our attention to the numbers this week. Let's focus a little closer to home. On the intermodal side, intermodal down below its five-year average, essentially on par with last year's levels, a little bit below, ever so slightly, about a percent or two below last year, but below the five-year average. Certainly not recovering from that step down that it took at the 4th of July, just sort of getting back to those levels, getting back to essentially Memorial Day, the first week out of the Memorial Day holiday, essentially even with those levels, but lacking any direction, lacking any sort of sense that we're going to continue to go higher, lacking any sense that we're going to go dramatically weaker either. I will tell you, as you go under the hood of these numbers, all of this strength is Canadian volume. All of this strength is Canadian intermodal volume. It is not U.S. The U.S. number for overall intermodal is very flat. So that says not only is it coming in through Prince Rupert, through Vancouver, through Halifax, through ports of that nature, but it also is going to change the mix of that business a little bit. You're going to see more intact IPI. You're going to see a little bit less transloading in that July number because of that shift toward Canadian ports of call versus U.S. ports of call. On the trailer side of the business, really very stable. Really since the 4th of July, we bounced back from the 4th of July holiday, and then we've just stuck right around 16, 17,000 trailers a week. Well below last year, well below the five-year average, a little bit below 2019's level, but not nearly as dramatically below it as what we have seen relative to last year or relative to the five-year average. On the containers side, containers ticked up a little bit stronger than we've seen in the overall intermodal market, because we're making up for that trailer loss, but overall, broadly in line, as you would expect. Containers are 90% of the intermodal marketplace. If this number didn't broadly track the overall intermodal market, you'd be worrying about my data. You'd be saying, I have an issue somewhere in my spreadsheet. But unfortunately, that is not the case. This is sort of the actual number. This is where we are. Containers showing a little bit of life, but not enough to make this thing we're going to break out anytime soon. We're still very close to last year, very close to our five-year average. And again, it is all Canadian strength. It is all a function of additional Canadian intermodal movements rather than a broad-based North American strength. Switching gears, looking toward the carload market. The carload market showed a little bit of strength in the last week. We moved above last year for the first time in a while. We were above it in the 4th of July holiday week. Excluding the holiday week, it's the first time we've been in positive territory since Easter. Think about that for a minute. The fact that it's been since Easter since we've been above last year's levels. That's a long time ago. That's April. We're now in August. And it gives you some sense of how long it has taken for carload to show positive growth compared to last year. That's still well below the five-year average number. So it is glass half full, glass half empty. Certainly, carload's happy that it's above last year, that it's moving in a positive direction. It has a long way to go. Don't let that fool you. We're still a long way back from where carload has been historically. And something that should give shippers and carriers a little bit of pause is that economically sensitive freight is not moving back nearly as strongly as overall carload. On the economically sensitive side of the house, We're just barely below last year's levels, and we're well below our five-year average number. We are sort of not even back to where we were last year. As a reminder, when we talk economically sensitive freight, that means no coal, no agriculture, no petroleum, just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like lumber and wood, things like metals, things like automotive. Those sorts of sectors are what's in the economically sensitive freight category. And they're also the categories that are going to drive long-term carload growth going forward. They are the ones we need to really focus in on as we think longer-term in the carload business. So the fact that they are underperforming the overall carload market, that is a worrisome sign for the long-term growth future of the carload markets. So let's shift a bit and let's talk about the bulk sectors. Let's talk where we are in the coal markets. And coal is remarkably firm, right around 76,000 carloads a week as the warm summer remains in place. We've been above last year, at last year, for really all of 2022. Coal has had a remarkably good year, but it's not all that remarkable when you think about the context of the market factors at play. You have strong natural gas prices between $7 and $9 per MMBTU, and you have an abnormally warm summer across the Midwest and in places like Texas that burn an awful lot of PRB coal. Houston, for example, had its warmest June and its warmest July on record. That helps support coal demand. That helps support electricity demand. Everybody's running their air conditioners flat out. Everybody's wants that peak demand, and it has to be filled. It has to be filled from somewhere, and that means coal units are on and burning. Now, we don't expect this to have legs. We expect it to be a 2022 phenomenon. As we get into next year, we expect coal to see a decline, to revert to a more normal secular decline pattern that we have been expecting for a long time and have seen over the last several years. On the grain side of the house, grain has bounced back over the last several weeks from its July 4th holiday low. It's now above last year, but it's still below the five-year average. It's still broadly underperformed. When you think about the expectations for grain coming into the year, and you think about the geopolitical drivers that only fortify that thesis coming into the year, grain has underperformed those expectations to this point in the year. Now, we will see what goes on over the balance of the third quarter as the Canadian harvest starts to come in. You would not expect the Canadian harvest to be as poor as it was last year. You would expect to see that perform more normally. That should support volumes. That should help grain volumes perform better over the last quarter and a half of the year. But at this point, we will wait and see. We will wait and see exactly how that harvest comes in to determine where grain is for the balance of the year. Chemicals traffic had been a little bit lower than it was for much of the year in the last several weeks. It bounced back in the last week above last year to well above its five-year average. That's a good sign. Chemicals traffic, you may remember, is one of the sectors that is going to underpin carload growth going forward. So to see it back above last year is a good sign. And we expect it to continue to run there as we go through the next several weeks. And it is moving higher even as petroleum products volumes are not. Petroleum products volumes came like gangbusters out of the July 4th holiday and moved up close to 22,000 carloads a week, broke out of the range it had held for most of the post-pandemic period. And there were signs that maybe it was a flash in the pan, maybe it was the first start of sustained growth. Well, it was just a flash in the pan. The last 2 weeks have seen significant declines. We're now below our five-year average. We're essentially flat with last year. And we're right back in that 19,000 to 21,000 carload a week range that we have held for most of the post-pandemic period. So petroleum products really just came right back to earth after the holiday. Looking at stone, sand, and gravel, it's been a good picture. It's been a solid picture. We've been above last year for much of 2022. Now, we're not back to the five-year average, but we are running at a very strong level. That's a good sign. This is a sector that's been under pressure for a long time. So to see it performing well, to see it above last year, That's a good sign. It's a good sign for construction demand. It's a good sign for infrastructure projects. It's a good sign that volumes are bouncing back. Now, probably the biggest surprise in any number I'm going to show you this week is the lumber and wood number. We've all read the headlines about mortgage applications. We've all read the headlines about the housing market, about housing sentiment. Well, the volumes, they have ticked up in the last week, and they are above their five-year average. They're well above last year by about 6%. They're almost near their 2022 highs. That is not a result we would have expected, but it is something that is occurring at the moment. Now, we would expect that that would move its way back down closer to the five-year average, closer to a level below the five-year average as we work through the balance of the year. But so far, that has not occurred. So far, that has not happened. Pulp and paper, it surged in the last week, but it surged from a very low level. It surged from its 2022 lows. At a time when you normally see a little bit of a seasonal surge, we'll have to see what happens in the coming weeks. We're still well below last year. We're still well below the five-year average when it comes to pulp and paper demand. This is something that we're going to have to watch to see if it stays at these low levels or if it starts to make its way back to a more normal number, to a more historical number relative to pulp and paper demand. We'll just have to wait and see. Automotive has stepped up in the last couple of weeks. We are above last year pretty firmly, but we are still not back to our five-year average. We are just sort of bouncing around between last year and the five-year average. So we don't think that we have lapped all of the semiconductor issues. We don't think that we've heard the last of the automotive supply chain issues. If we did, we would expect to see this blue number go dramatically above the five-year average, and we have not seen that. And we're not forecasting for when that will occur simply because every time we've tried to put a number out there, every time we've talked to the automotive industry, the numbers just sort of changed. And so we're going to look at it and we're going to say, we're going to wait and see. We're going to see what this number does, and then we're going to react to it when it happens. For the moment, automotive is above last year, but not back to its historical norms, not back to its five-year average level. And we don't expect it to get back to its five-year average level. We expect it to just sort of maintain within this range until the picture becomes clearer relative to the automotive supply chain itself. And with that, I'm going to wrap up this week. You can see Carload Intermodal are really just sort of hanging out. It's very much a status quo summer report, just sort of doing its thing, biding its time, and seeing if it can move up as we get into the fall. Certainly, service and labor remain top of mind issues for the industry, things that the industry is going to have to deal with as it goes forward, and hopefully we'll have answers, at least on the labor front, here over the next 45 days or so to give us some sense of where we're going and what sort of a foundation we have heading into the final quarter of the year. And with that, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this week. Thank you for joining us. If you ever have any questions about the market, what you're hearing in the podcast, what you're seeing in the industry, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team. We're always happy to talk about the industry, talk about the markets, always happy to discuss what's going on out there. And we do hope to see you in person in Indianapolis next month. If you need any more information about that, also feel free to reach out at any point. And with that, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.